night. We're thankful again to be here and to look into the Word of God, and to again be stirred up in the things that God has spoken to us. One of the reasons, or the big reason we come together and we go to church, is because we need it. We need to be stirred up. We need to be exhorted. And so we have the opportunity to come together in this and to trust the Lord as we, that the truths that are brought maybe are applicable to our own lives, and to trust Him for our future, and being thankful that for what God has done for us. Welcome the visitors here, and we trust that that God will bless as your hearts and minds are open, and as He speaks to the need of each heart. The message, as we were thinking of it this morning, was to turn to Hebrews, the sixth chapter, Hebrews chapter 6. And we were thinking of the anchor of the soul, that there's something that anchors us. We go through various experiences of life. Life isn't always easy. As Christians, we can lay claim to the promises in the Word of God, and know that they are true. And at the same time, we face experiences in life that toss us about and affect us in various ways. And emotionally, and as well as physically, and even spiritually. And God uses various circumstances in life to lead us on. But we're thankful that we have someone we can turn to. The Lord is there, and to help us to be anchored, that we don't need to be tossed about in our spiritual life, but we can find trust and hope as we continue to walk with Him. Looking in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, as we look in the first part of this, in the first part of this chapter, and he speaks of going on unto perfection, going on in our Christian life. And then in verse 4 and on there, he speaks of being falling away, and that it's impossible. If we were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, to, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. There needs to be continuing on in our Christian life. Then it speaks of the dearth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet by for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The end is destruction if we fall away from our relationship with God. But then he goes on in verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things which accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Paul's saying that we're expecting better things of you. He made it clear he's not saying this is the condition you are in, because that's the end of the way of those that do not continue with God. And he goes on that, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The effort and the work that they put into the things of God in ministering to the brethren and sisters, in living in their relationship with God and their love to their fellow men, that God isn't going to forget that. He's not saying that God is unrighteous to judge you, but he's saying God is not unrighteous, that he's going to forget the effort that you put into your Christian life. So it's that kind of God we serve. Yes, sin is going to be judged, but when a man or woman opens their heart and sincerely endeavors to seek God and follow him, why, there's going to be blessings in store, and God is going to recognize that. And he's not going to judge you because of that. We do have in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, that when a man leaves the things of God, and it's saying that here as well, that God is going to forget those things. But he's saying, to Paul's telling them, you aren't doing that. I'm not accusing you of that here, but rather that you press onward in your Christian life, and God is going to give you the blessings and the crown at the end that he has promised to those that continue on. And so that's the thought of this, that we need to continue on. And that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that everyone show the same diligence till the full assurance of hope unto the end, that he be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. As we look at this, the thought we're thinking of is for a text verse, you can look at verse 19, but we also want to see the background on the fact that why he was making these promises. He was making these promises to a people that he was persuaded were endeavoring to continue on in their Christian life and not to fall away. But he said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. One of the things I think of is the verse in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's either 9 or 19, where he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And my thinking tended to think that our hope was yet in the future, beyond this. But yet he said, if we have hope in this life only, we're miserable, indicating that there is also a hope in this life. And so it's a fact that we have the hope that we can live for. We have a hope today that we can work for. It's not just when we get to heaven, but it's a hope and the blessing that we have based on the promises of God. that our faith lays hold of the promises of God, and our faith, and then because of our faith, we have a hope. We have a persuasion. Hope is a persuasion within us that that God is going to continue, and that there's blessings, the course that we have chosen in our Christian walk of life, that if we continue on in that, there's blessings in store for us, and not in this life as well. We can have the promises of God. We can have the grace of God in our life. We can have the blessings of the Lord and walking with Him, and the graces that He supplies in our life to come through the temptations and the struggles in life in a victorious way. We have them promises that God is going to provide, and all that is part of the hope that we have today. And I'd like to say that I don't think the hope is just out in the future, but the hope is the experience and the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ now and today. We're thankful for that. Thinking of the anchor then, the hope is our faith, and that hope is an anchor of the soul. It steadies us. We face experiences of life that would be liable to toss us about. We may become discouraged as Christians. We may tend to think sometimes, is it worth it? But we have the hope and the promise that it is. A commentator I like to read sometimes is William Burkitt, and he says, one, that believers are exposed to many storms and tempests here in this world. Their afflictions, persecutions, temptations, fears, and so on are compared fitly to storms because of their fierceness and violence, and because of their tendency to ruin and destruction. And two, that those storms would prove ruinous to the souls of believers did not hope, the anchor of the soul, take hold of the promises of the gospel, which keeps the Christian firm and invincible against all opposition, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And I appreciate that explanation that he gave there. And so one of the things that we did want to take note of here is the love which ye have showed toward his name, in that he have ministered to the saints and do minister. That there is a love. And verse 10 would refer to the work of love in a congregation, a part of finding full assurance. Galatians 6 would say, bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so there's an indication of that assurance and hope that we have within us. And it's outreaching to our fellow brethren and sisters in church life. Sometimes there is church struggles, there are church splits, there are things which tend to discourage, and we maybe all have seen, I've seen people already, their church splits come around and problems that they have in church life and trouble getting along, where they give up. They just give up. I remember a young Amish boy. I was no longer Amish. And he was doing some work at our place, and I was sharing with him, and he said where he came from and what part of the country he had lived in and so on. And the church, Amish church he had been with, and how, where the area he was. But then he said the bickering and fighting that was there. And he said, I left it all. He said, I have more peace now than I did then. And I had tried to testify a little to him, but he said he has more peace now than he did there. And that's sad, but sometimes all too true, that that people turn away because from the church and from the group of believers, because they recognize that what is happening here is not God. And so so that was his way of looking at it, and yet God is still there. He's still going to eventually answer to God and be accountable to God that what he done with his life, not what other people did, but what he done. And so those are some of the challenges that we face in life as Christians, that we are able to continue on. And so that's what he's speaking of, the work of love that he had in the, that he has showed toward his name, and that they have ministered to the saints and do administer. And so we desire that every one of you do the same, give the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. And I'm thinking of that, the full assurance of hope. There is, by they give all diligence. Our hope is only going to be expressed in our life if we give diligence to maintain it, to continue in our Christian walk of life, to continue to follow the Lord Jesus and let God's word and go back to the word and the promises of God again and again, because it's faith in the promises that give us hope. Faith in the promises of God are going to give us hope. It is worthwhile. It is something we can live for. It is something to follow on. Looking then, and one number one is life is a voyage. And we had already expressed some of this, but your life and mine is a voyage. It's a journey that we're making. It's something, as Christians, we start out in the Christian life, and the young people make their testimony, they respond to it, they hear the truth, they see it as truth. But then it's also, as older, as we get older, we need to continue on in that Christian walk of life. It's not something I did way back there when I gave my heart to the Lord and I told the Lord to come into my heart. It is, that was a step in the right direction. But it's a voyage and a journey that we're each on in life. And we can't tell the storms or the circumstances which would come to each one of us personally. But God has those things in control. And he has said in 1 Corinthians 10 that he would not tempt us greater than we're able to bear, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. And so God always has a way. And God always, as we turn to him and trust in his hope, why there is a way. The life is a voyage, and it can be rough at times. Peter, when he began to walk on the water, he looked at circumstances, and he began to sink, and he began to faint. And Lord, save me. He thought he was done, and as far as physical life is concerned. And so he said, Lord, save me. He looked at the circumstances of life, and then the Lord spoke to him. There are times when dangers involve us on our voyage, and there may be rough times, but these times give temper to our faith. The hard experience of life, the rough times, the stormy times, will give temper to our life. And the thought is expressed sometimes, well, this too shall pass. And we do need to look beyond simply the fact that life is fleeting and passing, to the fact that Jesus Christ within my heart and life can take me through this experience and give me peace and give me rest. That is part of our hope, that we have today. And if we continue on, it's going to last, it's going to take us into eternity. That we continue to follow him in this voyage of life. As Christians, we belong to a heavenly country. It's another country. We're not citizens here. And so things don't fit out always for the Christian. This world here is not our home. And God is working in us something that is going to fit us for the world to come, for heaven itself, as we continue to follow the hope that is within us for now and for the future. And so we don't belong here. We're strangers and pilgrims. And it says in Hebrews 11:14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. So are we seeking a country? Are we trying to get the best out of this one? Or are we seeking one to come and making our goals and making the affections of our heart to fit for the things that are yet beyond? And they're not just after we get to heaven, but Ephesians would tell us that we can sit in heavenly places now, as in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, that the experiences, the graces that God brings into our life, the times when we see we have answered to prayer, and the times that we thought we knew how God was going to answer the prayer, and yet he works it out so beautifully some other way, that as we can recognize those times and look and experience them, it gives a means of strengthening our hope and helping us to realize that there are things yet in the future. For one thing, there's dangers in this life. One, there's dangers of drifting, where you just drift. You take what comes, you take the good things that life brings, but you put no effort forth to get closer to the Lord and to get closer and deeper in your experience with him, because God is a great quantity beyond anything that we can even think. But as we put ourselves to it and try to develop an understanding of that God, that's what he has called us to. That's part of this hope, to learn to know God better, to learn to follow him. But one of the dangers is that we forget that we're strangers and pilgrims here, and we just drift along with what everybody else is doing. That we drift down the stream. It's easy to go down, it's easy to drift downstream. But you need to put effort forth to go upstream and to fight against the current, and to try to go up as there are things that are trying to draw you back from God. In old times, they charted their course as on the ocean or on the sea, many times with the stars. And so they knew where they were, and they knew where they had to go or the direction they needed to take to go right. And so they check the stars to see where they are, so that the currents of the ocean would not move them in a direction where they don't want to go, or drift onto the rocks of destruction. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Bible in our life and experience, and we need to continue to put effort forth and not just drift down the stream. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. If we take the course of drifting, that everything that seems pleasant, that you desire, that our body, our physical, our mind would desire. And we just take that course and drift down that course. We're liable to end up on, we will end up on the rocks. Another danger after drifting is the danger from the storms. There are satanic elements in the world around us, and there are blasts of temptations. Our emotions are affected, and our thinking is affected. And so we need to push on through and find the course and find the direction of how God would have us to view this particular experience, in that, and how I'm to view it to begin with, and what my perspective should be, and then also the course I need to take, whether it's upstream, or more out to the side, or what it is. But we need to continue. There's danger in the storms. We may have tempted with the sin. Tempted with the flesh, a weakness, that a besetting sin that maybe we have a problem with in life at times. And if we're not strong, if we don't keep close to the Lord, why it's going to affect our relationship with the Lord. Hope cannot live with the flesh and sin. And so we need to work against storms that may be storms that overtake us. We may have health issues in which we lose our sight of the fact that our life and our health is in God's hand. And we think of people sometimes that have large health issues, and I've had health issues. But the fact remains that we're in God's hands. And some people have had cancer in bed for years. Others of us can continue to walk around and live and don't need to face some of the suffering that they do. And so those are some of the storms of life. We may have anxieties from financial and work issues. Maybe somehow we may look around us at other people or other even brethren, and somehow everything in financial world, when they touch it, it turns to gold. It just goes, and everything we touch, it goes down. And one thing might be is we need to accept who we are. We need to accept the gifts that God gave us. We're not all financial wizards, and God didn't intend us to be. And so we don't have to imitate what others do, but we can find what God's will is for my life by seeking direction or help from Him. And yes, if we're trying to support a family and it's seeming not enough to live, there can be anxieties involved in that. In some way, we need to have the hope that realize that God has an answer, and God will continue to supply the need. There can also be family affliction, loss of loved ones, spiritual conflicts, and as we mentioned, church stress, the storms which come may tend to drive us downstream, because the force of the wind, the force of the things that come, may cause us to turn and fail to keep our bearings and follow the Lord. And so life can be a battle. Now, a soul is a ship that we're on the sea of life, and we make choices of our soul. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul committed his soul to God. And as we come to the Lord, we do that. We are asking him to come into our heart. We are asking him to save us. We're asking him to take control of our lives. But then we need to continue on. And so our soul is like a ship that is on the ocean of life. And what happens around us can affect us. And the preservation of our soul is at stake in happenings that may come to pass. And so we need to chart a course and chart a way and trust the Lord Jesus to bring us home. Peter, when he was walking on the sea, thought he was going to sink. But another time when Jesus was asleep in the boat and there was a great storm upon them, the disciples said, "Save us, we perish, Lord." And the Lord was sleeping. And so there it is in life that we're going to face various experiences. And we need to let God's will and purposes be fulfilled, but that we have that rest and hope and knowing that the Lord can see us through. And we need to go back and again and again into the fact that we need a hope that is going to stand. In verse 11 here in this chapter, it tells us, "Give the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." We need the full assurance. There are various degrees of hope, I believe. There's a hope soul, and there's a hope that we end up at the right place where we aim for. But the hope that our Lord is talking about is the hope that is connected to him. When the Lord took the word hope in his mouth, and this is Paul speaking to us, the direction the Lord gave, then it became a different word than a hope so. It became something that had was substantial. And so we need to live our lives that God's purpose is fulfilled. But it tells here the way to Paul's prayer to them was that prayer for them was that they give the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. And so are we satisfied sometime? Yeah, I know the Lord and we have a relationship with the Lord. But we do need he's telling them it calls for diligence. It calls for, if you want to maintain that hope, if you want the full assurance, if you don't want to make shipwreck because of the storms of life, give diligence to have your faith grow, to have your heart tuned into the Lord, to let him take control of your life. And you give diligence to do that, to have full assurance. Don't be just satisfied with a head knowledge and maybe a little more, and just so I don't fall into sin. That is one. But the fact that we want our Lord and Master, we want to walk closer to him. So the soul is a ship. Hope is an anchor that Christians have a hope which is like an anchor, which has caught firm hold and is holding on. And Psalms 112:7 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." And so evil tidings can affect us, but at the same time, we have a place we can go to, an anchor of the soul So a ship has an anchor. The ship that Paul was in threw out four anchors. An anchor was what they threw out on a road or a cable that that locked into the ocean floor and took a grip that they didn't keep drifting with currents or onto the rocks beyond. But it was to keep it steady, and so that it would keep it from being carried away by wind and tide. One, an anchor is not attached to anything. To anything floating. You don't attach an anchor to a big beam or even another ship because you're floating. It's floating and it'll just float right with you. It isn't going to hold you steady. Two, an anchor is not fixed to anything in the ship. You don't tie it fast to a good post or a pole on the ship, because it'll go wherever the ship does. And then three, an anchor must be in the rock, and that's where yours and mine needs to be. In the rock, Jesus Christ, we need to be hooked. Our anchor needs to be hooked. And so there's a great difference in a person having an anchor and not having one. If it's hooked in at the right place. There's a contrast of the godly and the ungodly. We can see that in Psalms 1. It speaks of the godly, and they are thus and so, and the ungodly are so and so. And so it is with the godly, in which you have an anchor. And one thought is that hopelessness brings a hopeless life. Did you ever wonder what some of the people in your community, someone that you do not seem like they have any a relationship with God, no anchor to hold them, what kind of a hopeless life? What do they have to look forward to? All they have to look forward to is more of the same. If they're in addiction to someone, they seemingly cannot break free from it. And so they have a hopeless life. They have nothing to look forward to in this life and no promise of anything in the next life except judgment of God. And so it is a hope. And so hope is based on the promise of God. We can see that here with Abraham in this chapter 6 of Hebrews, where it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men barely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." When there's two confirmations in a court of law, speaking of men, why then they need a confirmation. One is better, one is some thought, but two. And so God said to Abraham, "Surely blessing, I will bless thee." And that Abraham was the father of faith. And so the promise is us today as well. If you continue on, surely blessing, I will bless thee. Why should I fear? Why should I have anxiety? Why should I my faith become weak because of what is coming to pass? Because we recognize that hope is in the promises of God. And anger needs to be strong. If you saw a ship anchor, it's tons, a great big one, that the Christian's hope is strong. It's the provision of God. And a well-placed anchor will not drag. The anchor, when the anchor is strong, so we can trust it, put our hope and confidence in it. It is well-placed. The anchor is hooked in Christ, in the rock, rocks down below. And then it also, five, The anchor needs to be strong, and the anchor needs, it steadies the soul. Which 19 there, which hope we have, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil. And so we have an anchor that in Jesus Christ that we can put our trust in. And so it also steadies the soul to remember that every strain and pull fixes the anchor deeper. When the more you yank on it, the ship pulls on it, the deeper and deeper it goes into the rocks. And so that can be our experience too, as we keep our anchor, our hope in our Lord. Why, the storms and the tugs that we face will only pull us deeper and deeper into that that experience. But so the anchor is going to steady us. It's going to pull deeper and help us. The ship always faces the tide. When the anchor is locked in, made front to the front of the ship. The ship is made that the water flows from the front back, and so it always faces the tide. When the anchor is in, if the tide comes the other way, the ship will swing around for the other side, and it'll stay fast to face the tide. And so it is with us, that the issues of life we face them. We need to face the issues of life and allow God to direct and guide. God finds it hard to speak to us, I believe, when we don't face up to reality. And so we need to face up to the realities of life. But it's the anchor will not keep the ship from being tossed around. The ship is still going to be tossed on the waves, and yet the anchor will keep it there. And so it is in our Lord Jesus Christ that we may be tossed around, we may have struggles in life, and we may think it gets pretty rough sometimes, and we wonder if there's something wrong with my relationship with God, that I would experience these things. We need to continue on with the Lord. The fact that you have rough going, the fact that things happen in your life, we had the example this morning in the Sunday school lesson with the blind man. Who did sin, this man or his parents? And so rough things in life do not always mean. You see the experience of Job. You can read Job, that he had hard things in life. He's lifted up as an example in the Bible of somebody that had everything against him in this life. And yet he remained faithful. He continued on. God ended up saying, Job has spoken the right thing by me. And so let's keep our eye fixed on the Lord, keep our anchor in him, and may God direct and bless each one as we endeavor to do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer.